Jayaradha Madhava Punya Viha. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Gopi jana vallabha Giri varada hari. Gopi jana vallabha Giri varada hari. Yasodanandana Raja Jana Dandana Yasodanandana Raja Jana Dandana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama.
Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Om. Hare Krishna. I welcome all of you affectionately in this temple room, which has so much more space. our ashara is able to see here, for instance, I would say, minimum 15 people. Of course, it's better if you all move a little bit forward. Not that they have to fly here. My dear everyone, I welcome you. This is the first discovery lecture of our Holy Name retreat. It is something where I do hope to make one point that is like a falcon. What is a falcon? In German language, it's a Drehpunkt or an Angelpunkt. When you have a lever, lever in German is Hebel, it's a long pole. Provided you find a falcon, you could theoretically lift the whole planet Earth if the pole is long enough, because there is a certain law. If I place a stick here, my arm is the stick, no? And I move it just where the elbow is, then this part has tremendous force to lift it. Am I clear? Physics. First lesson of physics. You might have forgotten it. So even our spirit, but this only works if I can find a point where I can rest my lever on. Without this, I can't lift super heavy weights. So it was Aristoteles who said, give me a falcon and I will lift the world. A spiritual discovery is like that falcon. If you can find this, you can achieve amazing results. So today is under the big heading, establishing our relationship. If we can find our firm relationship with Krishna, the Holy Name, your life won't be the same any longer. You will have to divide your calendar into the time spent before that and the time spent afterwards. So I think you can understand why I'm totally nervous, because the duty of a lecturer is to create that eureka moment in his audience where they discover something that opens a door for them that may have been closed for so long. Good. Please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Now, all of us.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
We will read this beautiful verse in Sanskrit. Etanni vidyamananam.
Etanni vidyamananam.
Ichatam makuto bhayam.
Ichatam makuto bhayam.
Yoginam ripanirnitam.
Yoginam ripanirnitam.
Hare Namanu Kirtanam.
Hare Namanu Kirtanam.
Can one of you please chant?
Etanni Vidyamananam. Ichatam makuto bhayam. Yoginam ripanirnitam.
One Vaishnavi, please.
Etanni vidyamananam.
Etanni vidyamananam.
Ichatam
akuto bhayam.
Yoginam ripanirnitam.
Yoginam ripanirnitam.
Everyone, this is a verse where the great saint Shukadev Goswami instructs a dying man who has only 7 more days, perhaps now only 5 more days, to stay in this world in the essential point he needs to understand for his passage from this world. We will immediately go into the English. So Shukadev addresses the king of the world, Parikshit Maharaj. O king! Well, it's nice to see your enthusiasm. Yes, enthusiasm is so good, but for the moment, I will just read it on my own. O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are already free from all material desires, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and also those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. So here a path is chalked out that is relevant for 3 types of people. With these 3 types of people, all people are covered. It's those who have mastered the illusions of this world and are free of material desires, knowing that they do not fulfill really. Then there are those on the opposite spectrum, people who are full of material desires. And then there are those who don't know desire, being full of desires or being without desires. They are not concerned with desires. A very rare part of people. They are self-satisfied. They are in themselves fulfilled because of their transcendental realization. So for all of these, constant chanting is the after, you know, you have to learn it apparently after the ways of the great authorities. You have to learn how to do this. But if you learn, that is your doubtless and fearless way of our success. I will just read one part of the purport, because this purport is one of those mega long purports, and I'm not sure that we will all be able to remember that much. If you can please put it up, it's easier to read along. In this verse, I will already start and then it will come up. In this verse, Sri Shukadev Goswami recommends the transcendental chanting of the holy name of the Lord. By offenseless chanting and hearing of the holy name of the Lord, one becomes acquainted with the transcendental form of the Lord, and then with the attributes of the Lord, and then with the transcendental nature of his pastimes. And this is an amazing point. By this chanting, you become acquainted. Tsipi, you are a professor. What does it mean if I become acquainted with something? What does this word? I get to know it. Acha. By this type of chanting, one can get to know the transcendental form of the Lord. First, you see the form, like here on the altar. No? Then the characteristics, how he is, and then even his, what he does, his transcendental pastimes. Here it is mentioned that one should constantly chant the holy name of the Lord after hearing it from authorities. This means that hearing from the authorities is the first essential. Now, of course, you need to get to hear how does this all work and so on. Hearing of the holy name gradually promotes one to the stage of hearing about his form, his attributes, his pastimes, and so on. And thus the necessity of the chanting of his glories develops successively. Acha, a journey is indicated here. This process is recommended not only for the successful execution of devotional service, but also even for those who are materially attached. Yes, the mantras, when they are properly intoned, they can even heal a broken leg. I have seen this myself. I was on the journey in the Himalayas, and I fell from the path, and I knew when I was on the ground, oh, this, something is broken. And then I remembered this. I was alone by myself. The others had already gone ahead of me. I needed a functioning leg, so I chanted a mantra, the Gopal Gayatri mantra, and I could walk. It was, I mean, I did feel a little pain still, but I could walk like a young man, no problem. So according to Sri Shukadev Goswami, this way of attaining success is an established fact, concluded not only by him, but also by all other previous acharyas. Therefore, there is no need of further evidence. The process is recommended not only for the progressive students in different departments of ideological success, but also for those who are already successful in their achievement as fruitive workers, as philosophers, or as devotees of the Lord. We like when we speak about spiritual things, we like to see where is that confirmed in some source that is infallible. Here is one of those reference points. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskadhyane Sadavine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama In the first part of our lecture, we will zoom out for a moment from our particular tradition to show the universality of chanting, thank you, the holy name of the Lord. I will take the main ideas of this part from an earlier lecture by Radhika Raman Prabhu, a Vaishnava scholar who is teaching at the university, and he came here during the Kirtan course and gave, in my mind, beautiful explanation about the universal church of chanting the holy name as a process that works across cultures, across traditions, and so on. And it's important because this view or perspective will help us perhaps discover something new in what we do, that is chanting. You must know that in the 15th and 16th century, there was a turning point that happened in Europe. It is also known as the Renaissance, and prominent names are Leonardo da Vinci, Michelangelo, and Gutenberg, a German, who invented the printing press. why was this a turning point? People were thinking across the globe in one certain way, and then a shift took place so that they begin to think in a different way. Let me, for instance, consider Michelangelo. I will be in a moment in our tradition, don't worry. Michelangelo is the first one who dared to break the established opinion that only God can create forms in human bodies. He actually went out of his artist's studio to the places where the dead were kept before they were buried, and studied anatomy, because he thought, let us create a piece of art that is so human-like that people will become inspired. And with this, he created his famous David. When you go to Florence, you can see this sculpture. And Rose, the scorn of the church and the intelligentsia. At that time, this was connected. Society meant the church. Kings would rise and fall on the word of the Pope. Pope is the head of the church, Catholic Church. And they said, only God can create forms like this. But Michelangelo said, no, we are part of the Lord, and we have creative abilities as well. And he did this. The printing press, and he revolutionized the thinking. Leonardo da Vinci also did this. I will not talk about him. The printing press. My dear everyone, you are now using mobile telephones and tablets and computers, but that's already a modern revolution. Just as important or significant as this digitalization of our reality was the printing press, where letters were printed, books were printed en masse and distributed to the people. Before this, books, mostly spiritual books, were copied in the monasteries by the monks who laboriously wrote the text. With the invention, or the advent, I would like to say, of the printing press, everyone could afford them literature and education on their own. Another important thing, and now we get to the religious people, religious things, was the Protestant Reformation. Please forgive me, I don't know anything, but I know a little of German history, so this is my unfortunate birth here. Martin Luther went one morning and did something that totally revolutionized the world. Up to his time, before his time, the church has had the exclusive right to mediate between the human, the individuals and God. You needed a priest to read to you the scriptures, to translate from Latin into the local language, wherever you were, English, France, Italian, and so on. Without a priest, you had no access to God. Personal prayer, forget about it. You can do it when a priest is there in the church. This gave the established religion absolute authority over people. Martin Luther, who came from this background, wrote 91 strong sentences on a piece of paper in the morning when the Inquisition was not awake. He went to the door of the Church of Wittenberg and nailed his thesis and then ran. What was on the thesis? We need to object to the exclusive right of the church. Everyone is a part of God and is loved by God the way they are. Further, the church is not allowed to no human being is allowed to distribute indulgences. What is that? Well, priests and their servants were going through the villages and said, give some money, and then we give you a paper that you are released from your sins, including murder. There's even a rhyme, if you want to hear some good German. Die Seele aus dem Fegefeuer springt, wenn das Geld im Kasten klingt. The soul jumps out of eternal damnation and the fires of hell once the money is ringing in the donation box. Hare Krishna. Imagine people. Yes, so Hare Bo. Now, in the exact time of these revolutionary things, the Bhakti Renaissance took place in India. In the 15th and 16th century, all of a sudden, singers, teachers, and gurus came on the streets and said, the Brahmanas, the caste system, is wrong. Everyone, irregardless of their birth or station in life, can glorify the Lord. They talked of a revolution of the heart. In Western India, there was Tukaram. In North India, do you remember famous lady even? Woohoo, unheard of. Mirabai. In South India, the Tamil saints. And in East India, 15th century, you know everything. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees went on the streets and sang. And it was a scandal. It was a disruption of society for all the good reasons. A public outrage happened, which challenged the structures of power and authority of the time, worldly and religious, and so on. And all these singers, my dear everyone, there were many singers, the song was one. The song which they sang had three things in common. First of all, they taught and sang in the vernacular language. Vernacular means local language. The dialect and so on, which was spoken by ordinary people in a particular country. It was no longer in Sanskrit. Bengali, Tamil, Kanak, what is this? Avadi, Marathi, Brajabas, everything. Before, please understand the logic. Everything was arrested in Sanskrit, just like the church arrested the knowledge in the Latin knowledge, in Latin language. Who knows Latin? A simple farmer can maybe know errare humanum est. That's all. That's also my knowledge of English, of Latin stops there. To err is human, you know. So by translating, this is what Luther did, the Bible into German. All the people can, wow, hallelujah, and Hare Krishna, I mean, whatever is the content, they could read on their own. No need of any priest boss amongst them. These kirtan singers, anyone, an untrained person, could sing, and the kirtan singers would say, sing from your heart. The Lord is tired of your burnt sacrifices. Before kirtan, there was sacrifice, puja, rituals. Again, things which only the Brahmin class could do, just like in Europe, the priestly class. For the other people. Here now, everyone, group participation, the more the better. You sing and dance. Why keep your emotions to yourself? Joyously dance, no? The second point, so they taught in the vernacular language. Second, they challenged caste and gender hierarchies, or the feudal systems. Even the patriarchy, you know, only men are in charge. And the third is they reached across religious boundaries. Prabhupada said, everyone can chant Hare Krishna. If you're Christian, if you're Muslim, no problem. It will help you to become a better Muslim and Christ. It was no longer sectarian or defined by close boundaries. Radhika Raman gave us one song. There are many. I have a library of these songs. How these kirtan singers would sing. God is not interested in your birth. You are from Serbia, Radha Kripa. That was not a good birth. But in the old way of thinking. God is not interested in birth, nor in family, nor in wealth, nor in knowledge. Look at me, sang Ravi Das. My work is the lowest of the low. He was a cobbler who worked with leather from dead animals, no? But what difference does it make whether your cup is like this or like that? If there is Ganga water inside the cup, it doesn't matter if you use glass or mud or whatever. Then he would sing, look at the bark of the unholy toddy tree. Bark of a tree. When it is turned into paper on which scriptures are written, that unholy bark becomes sacred. And then they would break out and say, it is not your origin. It is not your origin. But the quality of the heart that makes you holy. Women started to sing. Mirabai was there. Janava, Vishnupriya in our tradition. And they began traveling. Wow! Before they could only be in the houses. One other bhakti poet, Guru Nanak, wrote, there is no Hindu, there is no Muslim, no. The Lord will recognize you regardless of the name you call him by. Just, see his poesy, just like the mother recognized the cry from her child when the child cries, regardless by which name the child addresses the mother. Please, my dear devotees, notice this idea of kirtan, which is one of the main expressions of bhakti. There was devotion expressed in song, highly personal, involved with feelings. Yes, there were feelings. And aimed at one goal, and one goal only, to develop love. All these traditions in which the Bhakti Renaissance also takes part, shared this one message. Our goal is to develop a personal and full relationship with God, a personal, individual relationship. And this was absolutely new. Now we don't, we are not medieval people, we don't know of, we think, well, this is shouldn't be, it be self-understood. It was not understood. People were they were in compartments of their gender, their social status, you know, their birth, in other words, and they could not come out of it. And spirituality was in the hands of the priestly, the brahmanas, and so on. It makes me shudder to think like this. So it is with this understanding, this free, spiritual, entirely spiritual approach, where we can understand something about the importance of chanting the holy names. There's a journey in chanting the holy names. It starts for everyone with simply vibrating the holy name with your tongue. Kirtan leaders go all over the world and they asked everyone to join in the kirtan. There's nothing necessary. One has the scriptures say, Diksha purashaya vidi apeksha nakare jiva spashe ochandala shabhare udhare. One does not have to undergo initiation or execute the activities required before initiation. One simply has to vibrate the holy name with his lips. Thus, even a person in the lowest class, the chandalas, they eat dogs. I don't know a dog recipe, but they know, you know, 20 or so. Even the lowest people can be delivered. So the first state in the journey is to just sing the kirtan. This is what the Bhakti Renaissance brought. But there is a journey. It moves forward. The second state is when you make a commitment. We had this. Commitment is what transforms an idea. I will quote him the way he said it. It's from Abraham Lincoln. I thought to give pleasure to our American guests. You know, commitment is what transforms a promise into reality. Beautiful, no? I see some take notes. I will repeat. Commitment is what transforms a promise into reality. The journey must go on. We need to make a commitment, and that is what happens at initiation. Everyone can chant, even without initiation. The holy name is not connected to any conditions that we heard in the first part of the lecture. No? But then, if one wants to be wants to move forward and study after the ways of the great authorities, in a tradition, in other words, then the commitment is required. You know, in our particular movement, our commitment is we chant a certain number of rounds every day. This type of commitment is very, very necessary. I was in training with a very wonderful devotee here who was my physical trainer when I was not well. I became strong like an elephant after the training. And what he told us, you must do this regularly, then you will have excellent results. No? So also, the occasional chanting here and there, it is very good. It is very nice. And if you chant at that moment of death, the holy name, if it comes to you, there is the greatest result imaginable waiting for you. However, if you wish to practice, then it is good if you make some type of commitment in chanting. Those who are initiated, they commit to 16 rounds, but you can also commit to 2 rounds. That's very, very important. Or 3 rounds. The commitment will just add a certain transformational power into your practice. That's the second step. Now the third step. This is what we will talk a little bit more about. It is coming to the spiritual level. When, after the initial 2 steps, a person wants to chant with more depth, he will understand, I am a spiritual soul, a part and parcel of Krishna. I'm addressing my Lord just like the child who feels an affinity to the mother will address the mother that is a physical relationship. So we will address the Lord also in our, we are not physically related, we were not born, you know, there is the most fulfilling spiritual relationship. We are part of Krishna, and Krishna loves us. Do you know that the Krishna Bhajanamrita ends its teaching with one amazing thing, that is, love yourself? Yes, you can love yourself. The Atma, which is a part of Krishna, is lovable. The Lord loves it. The Lord is all love. And he will see as you are moving forward, oh, here is someone coming to me. He is returning back. Is the body returning back? The bones are returning back? The skin? Your hair, which is colored and dyed or not colored or dyed according to age, is that returning? No, it is you in your essence, the true self, your true nature. And that is always loved, a beloved child of eternity, a beloved child of the Lord. And you may love that part, you may love the true self. No? I will read this in the workshop to you, these amazing verses over self-love, which happen when you understand the self, the true self. Why should we love something that is illusory? No? We should understand all them. I don't want to say we should not love the human part in us that is, we call it in German, Bruder Esel, brother donkey, who carries me, you know. Should I not be kind to my donkey that carries me in this life, you know? This is how the old German culture related to the body, brother donkey, you know, take nice care of it, feed it grass, praise it when it sings loudly, you know, and so on. But understand, you are riding, you are moving on in the body. Come to the spiritual level. The real treasures of spiritual life will unfold before your eyes when you understand I'm not an American, I'm not a German, I'm not a man, I'm not a woman. I am a beloved child of eternity. I'm Krishna's part. The Bhagavad Gita tells us in 1844, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Na Sochati Na Kangshati Samasaveshu Bhuteshu Mat Bhaktim Labhate Param. No, Brahma Bhuta, on that spiritual level, you will not lament for material things, you will not desire for material things. Naso chati na kangshati. Samasaveshu. You will see all living entities as brothers and sisters, part of God. No? And at that level, mad bhaktim, you will attain my bhakti, my devotion. That's important to come to the spiritual platform. Those who of you who like to study, please read in the Bhagavad Gita 18th chapter 51-53. I repeat, 18:51-53. What activities you can do to come to the spiritual level. There is, for instance, controlling the mind with determination. You know, when the mind pulls you to the material level, you say, no, that's not right. I'm going in the right direction. You know? And the third level is enter the world of Nam Rasa. Nam Rasa, what's that? That is chanting in a delightful, ecstatic, empowered, elevated, uplifted. I have so many words today. Relationship with Krishna and experience the delight of relating with God personally. That is the journey of the chanting of the holy name. Simply vibrate. Second, make a commitment. Third, come to the spiritual level. And fourth, enter the world of Nam Rasa. Rasa means taste in relationship to God. Now all this will become empowered and alive by what the Sanskrit calls sambandha, a close relationship. Sambandha means to be connected with Krishna. Chanting in sambandha means to chant with a feeling, an awareness, a cognizance, I'm not so sure about this word, but an awareness of being related with Krishna. Chanting with this mood means to know deeply from the heart, you know, it has some emotion with it, that you are an eternal soul and that Krishna is your master. Once you chant in this way, you will experience not just the letters of the holy name, not just the beauty of the melodies, of the rhythms and everything. You will enter into a life-filled relationship with Krishna. I will make this very simple now in a little exercise. Actually, the exercise comes at the end. First comes the glass on the wristwatch. Oh, Krishna, help us. Time is so short always. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
Dobro means good. There is one work in the Vaishnav tradition. It is written by a great devotee who was also a great scholar before love and ecstasy overtook him. His name is Jagadananda, the bliss of the universe. Pandit. Pandit means scholar. Professor M-E-D-H X-Y-Z. He was one of those. Yes. He outlined the process of the journey to Krishna in his famous book Prema Vivata, the sometimes curved ways of love, means Vivata means in it, like it means something else. I'm not a pandit here. It means Vivata means some bewildered by love, the work means. So he explains how our journey like this. We wander from body to body. Sometimes we are a man, then we are born, take another birth. By the way, do you know that yesterday a child was born? Ah, a new child in the community. Yes, very sweet. Yes, yes, the daughter of Sita and Manu. Yeah, it finally came. You know, there was what surprise does this child have in mind? No? It was a little over. It waited a little to, of course, get the right moment. You know, yesterday was the right time. So yes. This little baby, whom you will hopefully see, I don't know when the mother is coming with the child from the hospital. I saw it looked like a little Buddha. not little, a big 50 centimeters. And very heavy weight, a child, you know. So it was before that. Somewhere else, the soul wanders through the material world. Now it came in this community. And then if by chance one comes in contact with a saintly person, he is informed about his true identity. Hey, child, you are not a child. You are a child of eternity. In that way you are the child, no? Then one becomes enlightened and says, oh, alas, oh no, why have I served so long Maya, illusory energy? And such a person who awakes to his true nature calls out, Krishna, my Lord, I'm your eternal servant. Ever since I left the shelter of your lotus feet, my life has become devastated. Wow, strong words. And then Lord Krishna is so merciful that if someone earnestly appeals to him, he immediately releases the jiva from material entanglement. And then when it breaks free the soul from the captivating spell of Maya, he regains independence from the freedom from this freedom from that influence, mayic influence, and enters into the shelter of the Lord. This is called the turning point. The moment you can say, oh Krishna, for so many long years I have forgotten you. Now I'm calling out for you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Krishna will be delighted. I'm so happy you said that. I've tried to tell you so the sadhus, the saints, and the shastras that you are my part. I have also sent you some reminders by your experiences in the world, that this world is meant to assist you in your spiritual life, but it can suck you up and entangle you hopelessly. But you did not listen before. Now you are listening. Wonderful. And at that time, Krishna becomes very active. He's called, he's invoked through the holy name in the further journey of the soul. So this is the power of Sambandha. And I would like to quote from one book, The Living Name. There are just three steps you need to know. This is now for those of you who are who are interested in the detail. How do I practice this, please? Coming in connection with Krishna. This represents you. It is a person without gender. You know, nowadays you see men and women alike like to put their hair up in the top knot. Krishna likes this style also. He himself is a top knot man, you know. Man is not the right purusha, I want to say. So in this, this is something, if you want to enter the Sambandha chanting, you tell yourself, I'm a part of Krishna. An atomic particle of pure consciousness and the eternal servant of Krishna. The second step is, after connecting with your true nature, you connect mentally with Krishna. Krishna is the original, infinite, supreme Lord and my only master. No, you come and connect with Krishna. This is supposed to be Krishna. He's a little, so much light. Yes, he's a lot of light. And the third is you become realistic about your state here in this world. This material world is meant to reform my tendency to remain absent in our relationship. And we will do this now. We will practice this. What is our melody? What? Yes. All right. We will leave this on so that you can make a photograph of it if you want. For now, please put your mobile telephones and everything aside. Please, we will sing now in this way. Sit straight. You have been very attentive up till now, so now we need to relax first of all. We have supplied fresh oxygen for all of you. Just take a few deep breaths, please. And yes, when you take a few deep breaths, don't force the breath too much. That creates stress in the mind. Just a gentle breathing, no? In and out, lengthen your breath when you exhale. For a short moment, become aware that in your true nature, your essence, the true self, you are a part of Krishna. In the kirtan, you will address him directly by singing out to him. And then avoid distraction, which the world offers you, the mind offers you distraction. Understand that you're here in this world to practice being in the relationship. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Just make sure that we got this. To chant in Sambandha, or this is for some of us establishing the relationship, means really, very simply put, to address Krishna. For an address to take place, you need to first of all be there. You, the person who speaks, who sings, who chants, and then your consciousness needs to be also connected to the... I don't know the English word, the person who is addressed. That's a simple way to put it. That is, you're singing actually to Krishna. So please Let us sing in this space. Let us inhabit this space. Just be there. I'm singing for you. I'm singing to you now. Please sing now.
Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In a prayerful gesture, and one more time all together, let us sing.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare
Hare Krishna. Thank you very, very much for participating so attentively in this first thing. Perhaps the main takeaway here is this, and we will leave it on. And that will really revolutionize your entire kirtan. That will help you really to take part in the ongoing ongoing kirtan revolution, a total and fresh wind in the world of spirituality, which does away with strictures and boundaries and limitations, and it's just the joyful turning of the soul to the Lord. So this is the main thing. We will work on this now in the workshop. You will have now free time. I think I'll leave it like this and don't take questions now. We will take questions in the workshop, and we will also create an optional session which you do not yet find on your thing, which is a pleasurable question and answer session. But that will be announced at the end of the workshop, when and where this is. For now, I wish you all the best. Have a nourishing breakfast. And you have now time, 11 o'clock, up till 11 o'clock, 2 hours free time. And anything is possible, but try to keep in the space if possible. I wouldn't recommend now holiday parks or Hollywood movies or whatever. You can take prasadam. Some of you might like to rest. You might like to meet up with friends or make new friends. Please use it actively.
I see. Help in the kitchen.
Help in the kitchen. That is an active expression, yes, of bhakti. All the best. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.